Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
We have a better covenant upon better promises, and we have a better relationship with God.
We were at such a desperate place that Andrew, it was like life. It was just life that was coming from the television.
And every area in our life has been turned right side up.
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. This week, I'm just sharing a special teaching with you about the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is my third day into the teaching. I'm going to talk about it all week long, but I'm offering this free book to you. I've given away hundreds of thousands of these, The New You and the Holy Spirit. When a person comes forward at my meetings to either be saved or to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we give away a free copy of this. And I mean, there have been, at minimum, tens of thousands. I think it's over 100,000 of these that we've given out to people. And this is my gift to you today. If you call the number that you see on your screen, you can receive this as a free gift. And I've just been talking about how necessary the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, a second experience, not only the forgiveness of your sins, and I'm not minimizing that any at all, but you also need to receive power from on high. That's what Jesus said. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And He told His disciples, don't go anywhere, don't tell anybody about the resurrection until you receive this power. He didn't want people ministering in their own strength and power. He wanted them to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and have the Holy Spirit confirm the word that they were preaching with signs and wonders following what He said in Mark chapter 16. And sad to say, today, I would say probably a majority, at least a very large portion of the representation of God today is done without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in word only. It's not in demonstration of the Spirit. And I tell you, that is one of the reasons that we haven't made a greater impact. The early New Testament church was totally baptized, filled with, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And they went out and gave witness with power and demonstration, healings, miracles, things like this. And because of it, in 30 years' time, they evangelized basically the known world right there around the Mediterranean. Here it is nearly 2,000 years later, and in some ways, we haven't made much of an impact on our world, and a lot of it is because people are only speaking about it but not demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, it says over in the book of Hebrews over here, let me just turn over and read this. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says in verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, this is talking about the Old Testament, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. So this says that Jesus and the apostles were, that God bore witness to what they said with miracles and signs and wonders. And today, the vast majority of people who are quote-unquote representing the Lord are just talking words, but there isn't any manifestation, no demonstration in their life. You know, my program here is a teaching program, and so I don't, have a healing crusade and show all of these miracles and things, but we see a lot of miracles. The last meeting I held, we had people that were healed of multiple sclerosis that couldn't get up and walk on their own, that started walking. We had blind eyes open. We had two or three deaf people healed. I've seen people raised from the dead. I am not saying that to pat myself on the back. I am saying that I have let the Holy Spirit flow through me. He doesn't do it perfectly, not because there's anything wrong with Him. It's because I am not the perfect vessel. But to the degree that I have yielded and submitted to the Lord, I have seen miracles and miracles, and because of it, we are seeing a lot of people's lives changed. This is the way that every person should be. In Mark chapter 16, And in verse 15, he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is for believers, not just for super saints, not just for preachers. This is for anybody who's a believer. I have had some people say, well, those aren't in some of the oldest manuscripts. You know, I'm not even going to go there, but it's in the oldest ones. It may not be in some manuscript, but this is Scripture, and it was confirmed by the disciples. That's exactly what the verse over in Hebrews chapter 2 that we read was all about. And then in verse 19, it says, So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. If a person doesn't have signs following the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, then they aren't preaching the word. You could say at the very minimum, they aren't preaching the whole counsel of the word because God worked with them and confirmed the word that they spoke with signs and wonders following. The same thing was true over here in Hebrews chapter 2 that I just read. It says, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So God confirmed the word and bore witness to people through these miraculous manifestations. Today, there's many people who say, we don't need that. Can you think of the arrogancy of this? That Jesus, it says, a man who was approved by mighty signs and wonders and things. God used miracles to confirm Jesus. It says that in Hebrews chapter 2, that he confirmed the word of the apostles with signs and wonders. And yet, if people today say, we don't need that, what you're saying is, I'm better than Jesus, I'm better than the apostles. We don't need those things today. Man, that's the height of arrogance. We need the power of the Holy Spirit operating in us. And as it says in Mark chapter 16, if you are preaching the word, he will confirm the word with signs following. And so if you aren't having signs and wonders, it's because you aren't preaching the whole counsel of the Word of God. That's tight, but it's right. We need more people empowered with the Holy Spirit. So let me turn over here to 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. And what I want to deal with today, there are some people that say, well, yes, God did miracles in the Bible. Yes, he confirmed the word of Jesus and the apostles, but those things have passed away with the apostles and they don't happen today. First of all, the apostles still happen today. There are still apostles today. It says in Ephesians chapter 4 that God gave to the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, pastors apostle, prophet, evangelist, then pastors and teachers. And that's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So they are given to the church. The church still exists. Apostles still exist today. Prophets still exist today. You can't find any place in Scripture that these things passed away. Now, I know that immediately some people say, well, wait a minute. It talks about prophecies failing and tongues ceasing. Let me use these verses that people have misquoted and misapplied. This is the only passage of Scripture that I have heard people challenge me and criticize me over that I believe has any traction at all about the gifts of the Holy Spirit passing away. And yet, I believe it's a total misinterpretation of these verses. So this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so it's talking about the characteristics of God's kind of love. Here in the King James, it calls it charity. In verse 8, it says, Charity, God's kind of love, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And so people say right there, see, that talks about that prophecies and tongues ceasing. Well, that's true. But in that same verse, it says that knowledge shall vanish away. Has knowledge vanished away? Matter of fact, the Scripture says that in the end times, knowledge would be increased. Just think about that. You know, 20, 30 years ago, the ability to carry a phone with you that is not plugged into something and talk to people anywhere in the world. You know, I travel the world, and anywhere in the world, people can call me and it gets my phone. It's not plugged in. I've got more computing power in my phone than they had in the Apollo spacecraft when they landed on the moon. Think about how our knowledge has increased in just the last few decades. Knowledge has not passed away. The next verse says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." So this does say that there is coming a time when that is, which is in part, such as prophecies, tongues, and this carnal knowledge that we have here on the earth, it's going to pass away. And I agree with that. When that which is perfect is come. But what is that which is perfect? Well, people say it's the Bible. And you know what? You are not going to get any argument from me that the Word of God, the law of the Lord, is perfect, converting the soul. I believe that the Word is perfect. But for you to say that when the Bible was complete, when all of the New Testament books were written, that's what was perfect, and now these other things have passed away, that's inconsistent. Taking these very scriptures, it's inconsistent. Because look at the next verse. In verse 11, it says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." Then when? It's talking about when that which is perfect is come. And it does say that when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And it is saying that prophecies and tongues and knowledge, this carnal knowledge that we have today, it's going to pass away. And I agree with all of that. But it will happen when that which is perfect is come. And what happens when that which is perfect is come? It says, "Now we see through a glass darkly, but then when that which is perfect is come, we will see face to face." Have you seen God face to face yet? No, the Scripture says that no man can see God's face and live. Not because God is so angry at us that He'd kill you. It's because He is so awesome. He is so powerful, so glorious, that our physical bodies would just explode. You cannot live and see the true glory of God. People have had glimpses. Moses was hidden behind a rock and God put His hand over it and he passed by and then he saw his hinder parts. But you can't see the true glory of God and live. And it says, "When that which is in part is done away, then we will see face to face." That hadn't happened yet. And so that which is perfect must not be referring to the Bible, because the Bible is complete and yet we haven't seen face to face. It says, "Now I know in part, but then," referring back to when that which is perfect is come, "shall I know even as also I am known." Is there anybody that would dare to say that you know everything as much as God knows you? This is what it's saying. When that which is perfect is come, then this partial knowledge that we operate in today, where Paul, you know, he talked about, "I don't count myself to have apprehended. I'm only pressing towards the mark." He said he wasn't perfect yet. None of us have arrived. We've only left. We are moving in that direction. We do not have perfect knowledge. But it says, "When that which is perfect is come, I will know even also as I am known." That hasn't happened yet. Seeing face to face hasn't happened yet. Knowledge, this carnal knowledge that we have here in this world, that hasn't passed away yet. And yet these very verses that people use to say that the miraculous power of God ceased with the last apostle, which first of all, there are still apostles today, they say that this ceased with the death of the original apostles. This doesn't fit, because it says when that happens, knowledge will pass away. We will see face to face. We will know even as we are known. None of those things have happened. So this very passage shows that which is perfect cannot be talking about the completion of the Bible. It has to be talking about something else. It doesn't specify it, but I personally believe it's when the Lord comes back and we either are changed in an instant, but we receive our glorified body in the next life, in eternity. We aren't going to, have to prophesy. We aren't going to have to speak in tongues. This carnal knowledge, we aren't going to need cell phones. We aren't going to need cars. We aren't going to need all of this transportation. Knowledge as we know it is going to be totally different. Everything will be different, and that's what it's talking about. When we receive this glorified body, the very reason that we speak in tongues, over in Romans chapter 8, it says, "The Spirit itself helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." The reason that the Holy Spirit gives us this gift of speaking in tongues and then groaning in the Spirit is to help us bypass this little peanut brain. We don't understand everything in this life. I don't have every question answered. And so in this life, as long as I'm in this body, I need the ability to bypass my brain and pray straight from my spirit, past my unbelief, past my questions, and go directly to God. That's what speaking in tongues allows us to do. And as long as I'm in this life, in this body, with these limitations, I need this gift of speaking in tongues. But there's coming a day that I'm going to receive a glorified body and I will know all things even as I am known. And when that happens, I won't need to speak in tongues. I won't need to bypass the limitations and the doubt and the unbelief and the ignorance that's in my physical brain. I'll be communicating with God, knowing all things, and I won't need prophecy. I won't need speaking in tongues. But until that time comes, which hasn't happened, I do not have a glorified body, and neither do you. And until you get a glorified body, this gift of speaking in tongues is one of the most important gifts that we could ever receive from God. So again, I'm using these scriptures because some people say, oh, that stuff passed away. You can't show me that in Scripture. The only Scripture I've ever had anybody use that even remotely said that these things passed away was right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where it does speak about prophecy ceasing, tongues ceasing, and knowledge ceasing when that which is perfect is come. At that time we will see face to face and we will be known. We will know all things the same way that we are known. But the context of these very verses show you that that which is perfect isn't talking about the Bible, although I believe it is perfect and it is complete. This is talking about when we receive our glorified body and we no longer know in part, but we understand all things. Until that time, we need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit helping us. Again, going back to Romans chapter 8, it says that the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. And if you look that up in the Greek, it's actually four Greek words compounded into one. And it means that the Holy Spirit takes hold together with us and intercedes through us. Now that is very significant because the Holy Spirit doesn't just intercede for you without you doing something. And it's not you interceding in your own strength. But no, you start, you do what you can do. But if you will rely upon the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will take hold together with you. He won't do it without you. You can't do it without Him. But when you pray with a sincere heart, drawing on the power of the Holy Spirit, He will take hold together with you and pray. And it says that the Spirit knows what is the mind of the Father. In other words, the Holy Spirit and God the Father, they are one, the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit and God understand each other perfectly. And so sometimes we are limited in our ability to communicate. We don't even know how to ask for things properly. But when you speak in tongues, it's the Holy Spirit bypassing your unbelief, your doubt, your ignorance, and you are talking directly to God, and the Holy Spirit is able to communicate your true feelings and your true needs in ways that you can't do with just your verb, your normal way of speaking, your verbiage. You know, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit way back when I was a teenager, and I struggled for a while because I had been taught that it was of the devil and that it passed away. And so if anybody spoke in tongues, it was of the devil. And even after I came to realize it was real and I had people that I knew and respected who spoke in tongues and I saw the benefit and the power of it in their life and I saw from Scripture that it was real, even after I was convinced that it was real and it was for me, I still had all of the unbelief that I'd been taught and the fear that had been put in me, and it was hindering me from receiving. But I remember one night I was out praying in a field late at night, and I just was in love with the Lord. I was thanking God for the way that He had touched my life and the things He was doing. And I started singing, and I sang this song that we learned in the Baptist church. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing Thy great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. And I was singing this song, and all of a sudden it just dawned on me. Here I was saying, I wanted a thousand tongues. I wasn't adequate with just my one language to praise Him. I was praying for a thousand tongues, and yet I wouldn't even accept one other because I was afraid maybe it was of the devil. And I remember saying, Father, if this is going to help me to praise You, if I can communicate better through speaking in tongues than I can through speaking in English, if this is going to help me to praise You and express my love for You better, then I'll receive it. And boom, I spoke in tongues. And I tell you, that is one of the things that it does. You are limited in your physical body. But when you speak in tongues, I'm going to deal with this more on our program tomorrow. I'm not going to get very far into it today, but I'm going to tell you about what speaking in tongues does, how it allows you to release this supernatural power on the inside of you. And I tell you, you need it. If there's anyone watching this program right now, and if this all sounds strange and you say, what is the benefit of it? Again, I'm going to teach on this tomorrow, but this book that I'm giving away free will explain this to you and use scriptures to show you, and it will answer your questions. But speaking in tongues is one of the most important things that you can do. Until you know all things, until you get at that perfect, glorified body, until you see Him face to face, you need this ability to pray in tongues because it just allows you to communicate with God without the distraction, without the unbelief, without the fear, without the ignorance that we are all limited by. It just enables you. It brings you to a brand new level in your ability to communicate with God. And I know that there's been a lot of teaching against this, but it is the truth, and I tell you, it's changed my life, and it would change yours. I want to encourage you. We have people standing by at our phones right now, and we're giving you this book. You could call and get this as our gift to you, but you could also pray and ask them to pray with you, and they could explain this more if you have specific questions, but they could pray with you, and we have seen thousands and thousands, I dare to say tens of thousands of people that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoken in tongues, and it's just changed their life. So when you call and ask for this book, make sure that you also ask them to pray with you, and you can receive this gift of speaking in tongues. This is our free gift to you. I have other materials. I've got a study guide. I've got this teaching on CD and DVDs. Our announcer will give you information about how you can receive all of that if you want more study in it. But this little book right here would transform your life. The new you and the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to call or write today.
Thank you for joining us on today's broadcast of The Gospel Truth. And a very heartfelt thank you to all who sow into Andrew Womack Ministries. Your generosity supports the sharing of God's unconditional love and grace to His kids all over the globe. Because of you, people are getting free resources and their lives are being changed. You really are making a difference. If you're not already a Grace Partner, we ask you to pray about becoming one today.
Hello, I'm Andrew Womack, and the Lord led me to write this book about the new you in the Holy Spirit. This is what we give to every person at our meetings who gets born again or receives the Holy Spirit. So the new you part is about what true salvation is, what happens. The Holy Spirit part is about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And we have this in book form right here. I also have CDs where I taught this at one of my meetings. I have DVDs, a live teaching. And then we have this study guide, which is the same material as the book, but reformatted in a way that you can teach other people. So listen to our announcer as he gives you this information about how you can respond and receive these materials today.
You can get Andrew's book titled, The New You and the Holy Spirit, in either English or Spanish today, absolutely free as a special website offer when you go to awmi.net. This offer is limited to one free book per household and is only available in the US, UK, Canada, and Australia while supplies last. Go to awmi.net today to receive this free offer. Today's series is an abbreviated version of Andrew's teaching titled, The New You and the Holy Spirit. This four-part teaching, in its entirety, is available on CD or DVD as seen on TV. Both were made from the original five-week broadcasts. This teaching is also available in a companion study guide. Each of these valuable resources are available for a gift of any amount. You can also get these products in the New You and the Holy Spirit package, which includes the book, study guide, and your choice of either the CD or DVD album. This package has a catalog value of $75, but you can get it today for a gift of $50 or more. You can order resources or become a Grace Partner through our website at awmi.net. While there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or call our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time at 719-635-1111. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I knew that Charis was going to be a place where I was going to learn about the Bible, about Christ, about God, who I was and whose I was.
When I came to Charis Bible College, I get to renew my mind, and now I believe that I'm going to be ready to someday be able to fulfill God's call for my life and to disciple other people.
I don't know what other Bible colleges teach, but this one's definitely got it right.
I mean, I love the teaching. The teaching is just, it's blue chip, you know, it's top notch. And then also, you know, it's just like a big family here. I mean, we all care about each other and we all just have a good time with each other.
This is a college that God has ordained and established for the purpose of launching an entire generation into the world to change the world and to change the way that it sees Him.
I'd like to invite you to come to our Women's Arise Conference. It's November the 7th through the 9th. I'm not going to be there, but some of my best friends, Carly Terades, Pastor Sue Sheriff, Pastor Sherris Johnson, and Dorothy Brown. That's James Brown's wife. I tell you, she's become a great friend. These are some powerful women. You'll be blessed. It's going to be a great conference, November 7th through the 9th, Women Arise in Woodland Park, Colorado at our Charis facilities.